Hello!
Hello!
If you'd like to listen to Running Commentary ad-free and get access to other exciting advantages...
And support us in our dotage.
Yes, subscribe to us on Acast Plus now.
Subscribe to the Plus and get the good stuff from us.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
That was brilliant.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss. There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Morning.
We were a bit nervous about coming out this morning because we're recording in the aftermath of Hurricane, what's it called again?
Tornado Isha.
Bless you.
Yeah.
and I heard that it wasn't actually... I was just going to do another terrible joke about Surrey. It's no way to start there. Because it's not actually been that bad here. It was very dramatic last night.
But yeah, it was quite noisy, wasn't it?
Trees down on the park on Walker.
Not
Shout
as yet.
Out to anyone who had it worse than us.
Yeah.
I think in Ireland and Northern Ireland it was pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Power cuts and...
And it's quite mild, isn't it?
Yeah, it's
generally
higher temperatures. It's all part of the same thing, isn't it? It's a very angry, very, very beginning to spring, isn't it?
Yes, seems to be, yeah. So
it suddenly seems
set off in the woods and see if there's any damage.
We'll see trees. But yeah. I say on the way up between here and Finsbury Park, no trees down.
Right.
And they do often come down. But we'll see. But also it being the weekend, you know, I got up this morning to see off my wife to work, and suddenly, you know, there's light in the sky already at 7:30.
Nice.
It's a little bit warmer.
Yes.
Birds singing in the back garden. Something is beginning.
Yeah.
But at what cost, Paul? At what cost?
And you had a trip to Devon this weekend.
Warrenstable.
To Warrenstable.
It was lovely. It was really nice to be doing a gig.
Yes.
And it was nice to be. I did a post about this, and I really don't want to... But I had a real... My dad was really present in my mind last week.
Right.
And he has such a love for North Devon. We used to go there on all our family holidays when I was a kid.
Right.
And, I mean, you know... Well, you've got the whole Croyd connection, you know.
Yeah.
But it was... it was a real memory dump going down there. It was really something. I did miss my dad a lot. But yeah. In quite a healthy...
It's quite nice in
modern
a way,
way. It was nice to feel that every now and again.
Yeah.
And, And yeah, I did the gig, lovely, and then although they weren't expecting a guitar act. I mean,
right.
You've seen my act.
Yeah.
There's a lot of guitar in it,
yeah.
Yeah, and the prospect of doing half-hour headline set without any music in it was...
The prospect
something
of doing
I could have done 15, 20 years ago, but I'd have been raking.
Yeah, but...
A barrel would have been scraped.
Yeah, but it's the prospect of doing... You set without doing what you do.
Exactly.
You
know,
you've defined yourself in a certain way.
I have become a one-man band.
Unless I took flip your nuts off.
Yeah, it's like...
Upon arrival.
One-man band, but your band hasn't arrived.
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh!
So that got...
Anyway, it all turned out well.
That got resolved,
that was
yeah.
an exciting stress before the gig rather than the gig itself.
Right.
Although I did miss my dinner.
Right.
Yeah, nightmare.
Your pre-gig dinner, you don't want to do
Poor
that.
Me. And then park run on Saturday morning.
The Barnstable Park Run, was it?
Yes, in Rock Park. Very nice.
Right.
Good scene.
Yeah.
What about you? How's your running?
My running's good. Well, I'm coming off I did 15 yesterday.
Oh, wow. How was that? Where'd you go? Round here?
I went round here. I went up to Highgate Wood Round.
Oh, is the wind blowing yet?
A little bit. Not much. And then Hampstead Heath, sort of 1.5 times around the heath.
Yeah.
And then just came back.
15?
For a solid 15. Took me 2 hours 45.
Did you notice really slowly. It? Did you? Was there a distance when you thought, I've run further this time? Or did you just...
Yeah,
just
I did notice it. But I mean, because I ended up doing late shows at the store. And I was just tired. Yeah. I think you're right. You mentioned it the other week. I might have to contemplate Wednesday, Thursday.
Yeah.
Just because if you set off tired and you're running further than you have in months... It's going to be pretty tiring.
Yeah, and
you run through it, and you're okay, and it's fine. But
yeah, it's not just.
It just could be a bit more pleasant.
It's not just tiring. It's the sense of the tension. You're kind of more likely to hurt yourself.
Yeah,
because you're pushing it.
Yeah.
You're because with it, we're quite good at
that freshness,
training, and a careful schedule.
Yeah,
but if you push against that with external stuff, with daytime and work stuff,
yeah,
then it compromises that training.
That's when bad things can happen. Yeah,
and actually, I had a very similar experience because. It just made me realise going away at the weekend how this first couple of weeks of the year, you know, I've really enjoyed a good, healthy, exercise-y relationship with the body, you know.
Yeah.
No drink, loads of yoga, loads of running and exercise. And then late last week, first of all, I carried some very heavy shopping on my back.
Right.
I mean, it was a good rucksack, but it was really heavy. So
yeah.
And that gave me a backache for a day or two. And then went off around the country carrying two heavy bags with my guitar on my back.
Yes.
And by the time...
Because when you go gig, there's a lot going on, isn't
there?
Yeah,
I've got to take a pedal box and a guitar case, which has got quite a lot more than the guitar in it, and then my luggage.
Yeah.
And at the weekend, I had my luggage, included my press-up machines.
There's a lot going on.
Books
there.
To sell. It's very...
Yeah.
It's quite a...
Quite involved.
I'm like a kind of... Yeah, basically, as well as being a one-man band, I'm a shop.
Yeah.
So it's a shop, a gym.
Shop and a leather...
And a
leisure centre.
And my restaurant.
Yeah, yeah.
And, yeah, exactly. It's ridiculous. But I did... doesn't notice when you're doing it all the time. I came to parkrun exercise on Saturday.
Yeah.
Thinking, well, I'm crook. I'm knocked up. My back's hurting.
Yeah, yeah,
and,
yeah.
And I'm tired. And it's not exactly the same as yours, but it is. It's that thing of having a schedule and thinking. I've got to take these things into consideration.
Well, I certainly felt that a bit. It's just like...
Here's some tree stuff down.
We've all started the new year quite gung-ho. And before you know it, you're really knackered. And it's easy to underestimate where you were. Like, I mean, a month ago...
Yeah.
I had a... I wasn't working because I had flu, you know. I don't know whether it's... flu, I don't know whether it's COVID or whatever, but I had a lingering flu that lasted nearly a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Ra's still suffering with the after effects of COVID. A taste is a bit gone. And
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But then you just slam into the new year.
Yeah, that's right.
It's it can be quite tiring.
Yeah, and if you're being abstemious, although is very specific to giving stuff up, but it's the same rhythm.
Yeah.
Who was it? I think it might have been Mel Robbins was saying... Day 19.
Right.
That's when you say, sod it, I'll have a drink. Or,
is it really?
Sod it, I'll have a... I mean, I think in the UK it's more day 2.
Yeah, yeah.
But, but nevertheless, it's that principle of if we've got like stamina or stubbornness or commitment, whatever, it will take you a certain distance.
Yeah.
Let's say just under 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And then you'll come up against yourself.
Yeah.
And that's what this weekend was, really. For better or worse.
Yes.
I mean, I just thought, I don't want to take my guitar to gigs anymore.
Yeah.
Which is...
But it was nice for you to... It was nice to have a gig.
It was great, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I...
Plus, I was working on that big, fantastic idea I had the other day that I'm still not going to share in case I kill it, but...
Yeah, that's good.
I got quite inspired. I got my notebook out on the train.
That's great.
I got some stuff down. We shall
see. That's lovely, yeah. Well, I ended up gigging at the Comedy Store on Saturday.
Yeah.
Because a fellow comic had a bit of a meltdown on Thursday.
Yeah.
Who you'd never name. You know, we're all mates. We all know each other. He'd been at a funeral all day. It transpired, and just wasn't in the frame of mind to gig. Got drunk.
Yeah.
Gigged. And just had a bad one, you know, just sort of couldn't engage, getting a bit angry, slow hand clapped off.
No, exactly. From the
bit of a meltdown, you know.
From the dressing room, like it was like it was going to happen, you know. He was yeah. having a bad time off stage and on.
Yes.
And everyone was like, you.
But it's
so difficult doing this job, isn't it? Because we are completely free, Byronic, it's Byron's birthday, by the way.
Yeah.
Freelancers.
Yeah.
So, you know, that moment, I mean, whose job is it to say, don't gig tonight?
Yeah.
You know, self-care is key.
But it's also...
Booze won't do it.
It's, oh, of course, I mean... But it's also one of those things of, like, most comics... I mean, when things are going bad in my life, I quite like going on stage, because it's like a safe space. It's like, you know what the parameters are. You can do it. You can just... It's an escape.
Yeah, sometimes.
Well, no, virtually always.
Yeah, but I mean, I've had that. I think it depends what the stress is.
Yes.
It depends how honest you're being with yourself, you know. I think it comes back to that thing we were saying the other day about if the thing that's been happening to you is stressful, it's really stressing you out, bad stuff.
Yeah.
Like, say you're having a nightmare, you know, not you, one is having a nightmare kind of parenting.
Yeah.
Then, and it could be really bad. It could be a really stressful situation. Stuff about my dad and his nursing home. Oh, things like this. But they're fundamentally, even though they're a nightmare, they're fundamentally external.
Yeah.
So going to a gig, you get to return to yourself.
Yeah.
And then it's a safe space. But I think if your trouble is from within, you might come up against that a bit more.
Yeah.
Because you go closer to yourself and you're like, oh, I don't know. You know, it's just harder to be as to have that clear distance.
Yeah, I think it obviously depends on the individual. And he'd had a very bad day, of course.
Yeah, of course.
But and also part of the reason why everyone loves this performer is because he takes lots of risks on stage.
Yeah.
And the barrier between him off and him on is fluid.
Yeah.
And he improvises a lot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So maybe he's not as...
Here it goes.
Maybe he's not as protected as other comics with an act.
Yeah, not as many kind of guy ropes
a
or
set,
foundations.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
a
so
position.
Everything that makes him exciting when he's on good form was the thing that sort of destabilising him when he's not, sort of.
Yeah,
thing.
Yeah, yeah. That sense of seeing where it goes.
Yeah.
But again, to be fair, to you, you have an element of that in your act.
Oh, yeah. But I don't think as much as him.
No. No, you never know what he's
which makes
say.
Him kind of frightening
and
thrilling in equal measures.
And what's the other word I'm looking for? Unreliable. But I don't know if this is the
well,
day
a little
to call
bit.
That out.
Maybe slightly, yeah. Which is why this doesn't get booked to close.
Yeah, I mean,
even though he's got the ability to do so, you know.
The thing, you know, looking at this comedian, looking at all of us, and thinking about the challenges, and you know, wanting it to be a good gig, but also wanting individuals to be okay. My main takeaway on Saturday night, two shows at the Comedy Store, was that they gave them to you and not to me.
Right.
Yeah. I was free. They knew I was available. And, you know, it's not the most objective point of view.
Well, no, but it's a very comedic point of view. Well, I mean, here I am.
Some tension. They could have given us one each.
Here I am, one man's...
They knew we were recording today.
One man's meltdown is another man's weekly shop. You know what I mean? I'm benefiting from...
I know!
From the... So, he's quite funny, but he's one of those guys who... He'll be back.
Yeah.
And
in all seriousness, there's a lot of talk. It's
it's a real life mental health thing is important to talk about.
Exactly. And it's a real life mental health moment. It's easy to have the conversation about mental health being more important these days, and it is, and people do. But talking about it as a kind of general, ongoing, notional thing, it's very different to when it comes up. And affects everyone in the workspace, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And also, you've got to say, people don't spend, on a very crass level, they don't spend West End dollar to see an angry drunk man being angry with them.
No, that's right.
Do you know what I mean? It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
Because it's very rare for a comic to get dropped from the weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
As a result of a bad gig.
But it feels a little bit like something from the old days in a funny kind of way.
Yes, yeah, yeah. But,
I don't know how that works, whether comedy clubs were different or people were more messed up. Or maybe there was just more, you know, alcohol and substance abuse.
Oh, yeah, there definitely was more of that.
But it's mainly something to do with the fact that there was a very big chain of rather rougher clubs.
Yes, yeah.
But,
bum, 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 bum. But, I mean, yeah, you used to go into the dressing room at the Comedy Store. It was like a drug dispensary.
Yeah.
It's very different now.
Yeah.
And also crowds are nicer.
Yeah.
Like, I was doing the late show, and it's a lot of... People don't drink as much.
No.
It's just a different environment.
It's and not as late, both physically
it's not as late
in time
as well.
And just
yeah.
in vibe. You know, that sense
they were more drunk at the
of a cabaret-ish, smoky, grubby looseness. It's just a very 20th century thing. It doesn't really exist anymore.
And also they were nicer, like with the comic having a tough time. He didn't really get any... He lasted about 12 minutes and then there was a slow hand clap off. But it was begrudging. It was like...
Yeah.
They gave him a lot of time.
Oh, the audience wanted it to be good.
Yeah.
That's right. He didn't... It wasn't a classic comedian meets the audience,
but
doesn't go across.
But 50 years ago, after a few minutes, there'd have been problems.
Oh, yeah. That'd be... straight away.
But all in all...
No, people are...
Interesting.
People have heard that Be Kind and they're trying it out.
I think they are.
Well, at a low-level social level. Yeah. Not necessarily around the world. But that's another story. So, yeah, I stayed in. I didn't have any gigs on Saturday night. I was completely free. Could have done one or two gigs. But it was a moment, actually, because my daughter was out... all night. But she didn't disappear. That was the plan.
Yeah.
My son went back to university on Saturday.
All right.
I said goodbye to him on Friday, but Judith saw him off at the station on Saturday.
Right.
And then I wasn't working, so we had me and my wife had a night in together.
Yeah.
We were just cooking dinner, and she said, "When's the last time we just cooked dinner, just the two of us?" It's like,
yeah.
It was a genuinely odd moment because it's something we've done hundreds of times.
Yeah.
But also just felt like something that we don't do anymore. It's something that we did before we had kids. It's something we did when they used to go to bed before we had dinner. But in terms of, it was a glimpse of the future, really.
Yeah.
It was quite nice.
Nice.
We watched Notting Hill, a real glimpse of the future.
Yeah.
Watch a film from 25 years ago. But it was on. I thought, we might as well watch it. Seen Lodestone's big favourite, And then...
I'm just a girl.
Standing in front of the boy.
Asking him to love her.
Oh, sod a dog, I made the wrong decision.
It's still a good... I'm a sucker for those films. I still like Notting Hill.
And yet, have you watched Judy and Julia yet?
No.
There you go, see. Sucker for those films, but you won't take a recommendation. That's all I'm saying. not that that's a rom-com, but it is Nora Ephron. I think you'll like it.
I started watching a film last night by Richard Linklater, the sequel. Meant to be this... Everybody Wants Some.
Oh, yeah.
Like a sort of... I think it's meant to be a bit of a sequel to Boyhood. And there was just... I watched the end tonight, but it's hard to get my daughter and Rachel to sit down and watch a movie anyway. It's just hard because they've seen it before. I don't remember. Or 10 minutes in, I have seen this. Or where's my glasses? It's just hard. They're hard to settle.
Tough times.
Yeah. And there was just no real plot to speak of for ages.
Right.
So it's one of those. I'm looking forward to seeing the end of it.
Yeah.
But it's really well reviewed,
Yeah.
Just a sort of early 80s college comedy. Normally I love all that stuff.
What's it called again?
Everybody Wants Some.
I don't know.
It felt
but
weird.
I feel
it felt
like
a bit overplayed.
I didn't like Boyhood as much as everyone else.
Yeah.
I found, I want to get all right on about it, but it feels like in his career, he's kind of calcified into only talking about masculinity.
Yeah.
In a way that didn't exist early on.
Right.
That Boyhood, I never understood right from when I first heard it was going to be on, why it wasn't called Childhood or Parenthood.
Yeah.
And it's so about the, I know that it was filmed, it was improvised over many years. And the girl who was in it, his daughter is the little girl or something, didn't want to be in it.
Right.
So that's maybe some excuse. But basically, it just had a really romantic idea of what it is to be a dad and what it is to be a little boy. And something a little bit more kind of about the Patricia Arquette character.
Right.
Which is, again, fine, that's that film. But I was also really disappointed in we're digging deep now. Sorry if you're
not a
cinephile listening right now. But before
sunrise.
The third one.
Right, before tea time.
Yeah, midnight. Before midnight. Which is the same thing. I just love those first two films.
Right.
And I came to them really late. I thought that they would... Whoa, Slippery in the Woods. I thought everyone loved them. And I kind of missed them when they came round. And I thought I might have missed the moment to really love them, you know?
Right, yeah.
So I came to them very late on. And there is something wonderfully youthful and gauche about Before Sunrise. But it's beautiful.
Yeah.
And then Before Sunset, it's just the whole... We were talking about this the other day. There's something really zen about the balancing act of it, the kind of the fact that it can tell a proper story that is centres on a question unanswered.
Right.
You know? I mean, just the end of that film is one of the best and most... the best experiences of the end of a film I've ever had.
Yeah.
And you get to the third one and it just feels just grounded in... A little bit of grumpy old mannery.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit disappointed in that.
Yeah, yeah.
When you said that your wife and daughter weren't going for it, I genuinely thought you were going to say, because it's a bit of a boys' film rather
than... No. Well, that might have been part of it, but... So, yeah, chatting about grumpy old mannery.
Yeah.
And try to avoid being a grumpy old man in the process. I was over there.
Good. It's a lovely sentence.
Sean Walsh.
I want to remember that for our little video. Yeah, we'll be chatting about grumpy old mannery and avoiding grumpy old mannery in the process.
Walsh popped over on Saturday afternoon just because he was doing a short film in the area. And he's got a really good laugh, Sean Walsh. When he laughs, he really, really goes for it.
Yeah.
And we just had a really good laugh, but we're talking about... And I'm meeting one this afternoon, an older comic who's having trouble getting gigs.
It's not me, by the
no,
way.
No, not you. And he's moving up north, and it's all a bit sort of, is it happening, is it over, or whatever.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of men of a certain generation, not you at all, actually, because you're really upbeat at gigs. Yeah. You turn up at gigs, moan about... their lives, moan about the circuit,
yeah,
moan about the gigs, and moan about young people,
yeah,
and they want to work the circuit and get gigs that are predominantly booked by young people.
Yes.
Why not just get on with people?
Yeah, that's
just be upbeat, do your job, and then just go home. Do you know what I'm saying?
And it is.
People talk themselves out of it. That's what I'm saying.
That's right, and I think also. To go the other way and not again worry about too right on, but modern parlance, you know, thus speaks privilege.
Yeah.
These guys are like, yeah. Well, why can't I have what I want?
Yeah, yeah,
no
yeah.
No clue that they've been being given it without necessarily, you know, asking nicely for it.
Yeah.
For a generation, you know, it came up the other day. I was in Dubai years ago. I mean, I think it was. Came up on Facebook. I think it was about 11 years ago.
Right.
But I remember it so clearly. Because someone came up to me after the show and said, just thank you for not coming on stage and sharing your menopause with us.
Yeah.
And I just thought, well, I hadn't seen it that way before.
Yeah.
And the way I see it is whenever I see some not wildly attractive older man come on stage... And just roundly slag off their partner.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I always think, well, she should leave you.
Yeah.
What are you bringing to this? You know, and you know the guys I'm talking about.
Yeah.
What does Frank Sinatra say at the end of High Society? I know I'm not Destiny's Dream guy, but I don't know if these guys know that they're not Destiny's Dream guy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not so bothered about that because it's something I do a bit myself. I mean, I think guys, women moaning about their husbands and guys moaning about their wives is just a comedy staple.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a subtle, you know. I just think literally, I watch some acts and think, well, that's fair enough.
Think, all right. And also, there's a tranche of comedians.
A what? Sorry.
A tranche.
Bless you.
Whose wives left them after lockdown. Whose wives left them after lockdown.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know? It's like, you know, it's... I suppose on one level you're just saying cheer up, you know.
Yeah,
but
and
it's,
also...
It's easier said than done.
It's interesting that you should bring up lockdown because It's a very subtle thing sometimes, excuse me, he says, pinching his own nose. But times have changed.
Yeah.
Things have changed.
Yeah.
We're all in a long-form recovery mode.
I think we are a little
bit,
certainly.
Like you say, it's important
yeah.
to curate joy where you can find it.
Yeah.
I'll tell you where you're supposed to be able to find it.
At comedy clubs.
At comedy gig.
Yeah.
Look at this day.
Yeah, it is amazing.
We're in the wintry woods.
Yeah.
And now we've...
I mean, I remember being in these woods, you know, as I lost the ability to contact with you when we were running in separate places to do the podcast.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's pretty bleak.
Yeah, these are strange times.
Yeah,
right.
yeah. And it tipped a lot of people over. Has
it
to be
did.
Said
I mean,
as well.
Basically, it was a. It was a. I think. How do you describe it? It was a catalyst for everyone.
Yeah.
And if you got the placebo, or it hasn't, you haven't seen any obvious change in your life yet, then, you know, you're either, I don't know, very lucky and unusual, or watch out, because
yeah.
it was a. It was like a moment for everyone.
Brought up some stuff.
It brought certainly. Up stuff for everyone.
Yeah.
And also interesting, looking down the generation, you know, looking at young people, looking at kids in school. You know, I think that yeah. it'd be interesting to see how what they live through as youngsters comes out. Because everything we do is defined by what happens when we're small.
Yeah.
And then the actual grown-up younger generation... You know, I think on the one hand, like you say, they've got, they're open to mental health, they're open to people, you know, being themselves more, you know, more likely to be friendly to an act on stage who's clearly
struggling. Yeah.
And yet also, maybe at another level, they're more likely to say, nope,
yeah.
I won't accept that.
Yeah.
Can't do that.
It's, yeah, some generations lost the best years of university, some lost the best years of sixth form, some, you know, it's,
yeah, yeah.
It's, these things trickle
going
through.
Going right back to the bit where two-year-olds do their first socialising.
Yeah, yeah.
But on the other hand, every year, spring comes, you know, and it's not nothing, you feel it.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And the park is open, I wondered whether they might
yeah.
shut it today because of the storms, that's great.
Crossing the road from Queenswood.
That's great.
Highgate Wood. I took in nature. I'd like to thank everyone who got in touch and sometimes shared links to websites and things to tell me that those foxes I heard were in their mating season. I would like to say thank you and
so, yeah.
yes, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, well, no,
there's a lot of.
We weren't making those crazy noises for any other reason.
Yeah,
just,
yeah, yeah.
That was a bit harsh. It was that early in the year, guys, that's all. But thanks. Thanks for putting me straight.
So here we are in. I get wood.
So here we are. Here we are. My pizza crib. What do you want to eat? Bread, sorry, Adam. Sir, bread.
And you have a race announcement that you've done, that you've entered.
That's right.
Hit us with it, mate.
Well, now, officially...
As from today.
It's true. I'm going to go home and start my fundraising page.
Yeah.
I'm doing the Sussex Double Ball. I will be doing Brighton Marathon, which you
yeah.
knew about already.
Brilliant.
And then I'll be running... The Race to the King.
Wow.
100 kilometres.
Wow.
In mid-June.
2 days, yeah? It's a 2-day race.
It's a 1 day.
What?
All in one
what?
Day.
Get out, mate.
Yeah, but day's getting longer.
Get out.
I can do it in the from dawn to dusk.
That's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
The longest run of your life.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It will be the longest run of my
life. Yeah, that's
oh
brilliant.
Oh, my God, it's the longest run of my life.
Yeah, that's brilliant. That's great. So no, you just
like
thought, let's just enter it and then we know sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a so nice threshold as well. Just really, you know, they do run a nice event,
yeah.
you know, looking into various things. And, you know, and this is our absolutely no judgment at all on other events.
Yeah.
But in the world of ultras, because it kind of is what you want it to be.
Yeah.
You know, different distances, different efforts, different levels of difficulty.
Yeah.
There's also different...
Levels of organisation.
Yeah, exactly. Different vibes.
Yeah.
Exactly that. That was one of the great things about Bannerbrook Enioch, was that it was totally well looked after.
Yeah.
A really well run event, but it was ascetic. It was
stripped back.
There was
yeah.
not much there at all.
Yeah.
In a really good way that
yeah.
sent you off into the wilderness whilst actually keeping you safe and
yes.
measured, you know.
Yeah.
But the threshold stuff isn't like that. And equally, it's not. Sometimes it gets, again, something that people... Other people would absolutely thrive off is it gets a bit militaristic.
Right.
Kind of, this is the one the army does.
Right. Okay.
British military fitness, you know?
Right, okay.
Like real intense SAS stones in your backpack stuff.
What, you mean from fellow competitors?
I think from the vibe of the event.
Right, okay.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
And again, brilliant. Some people would really be inspired by that.
Well, I mean...
But for me, this threshold kind of, we'll look after you, it's going to be great. You can walk, you can run.
Yes.
Kind of park run adjacent vibe.
Yeah.
That really works for me.
Yeah, totes.
And this illustrates that, and I should say this, threshold are part of a thing this year called Ultra 50-50, which is about trying to get as many women running ultras as men.
Yeah.
So, which is what a great thing to play for, because no one loses there. It just means you're getting more people involved. And also it's like a, what am I trying to say? It's a flag for involvement of everyone. You know, it's not just women. It's saying this is stuff for people.
Yes,
And
inclusive.
It's inclusive, exactly. Yeah. Thank you. Good word. So it's nice to be a part of that.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
So yeah, it's going to happen. I mean, what do you think? I think that's going to be okay, isn't it? I feel like I've got it in me.
I think it'll be great. I mean, I must say about the 50-50 thing, I did have the thought, though, that I wondered whether... Because I was looking at figures for part runs. Some part runs are like 69% female. And I just wondered whether some... Maybe not as high percentage of women want to do ultras because they're pretty daft. Do you know, do you know what I mean?
But I think maybe the two things are connected that we're talking about is that it's how you frame it, you know?
Yeah.
I think people would be surprised how doable
an
threshold style ultra is because I'm not saying if you travel 100 kilometres in one stint, then you're a hero, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Or 50 kilometres.
Yeah.
Then that's it. That's going to be a win.
It's crazy.
But it's within your power. You know, I was, last time it was a National Rowing Show this weekend. I think it was 2 years ago I was there.
Yeah.
And it was, I was on the beginners.
Oh,
those are four dogs.
Yeah, they were on a, just sort of formed some sort of gang.
Yeah, there's still no humans in sight.
Yeah, they nearly took me out there, didn't they?
Yeah, you nearly went down.
They were, they're perfectly friendly dogs, but just off on their own journey.
To be fair, you know, you nearly fell, but you didn't fall. I think a moment for me, I just nearly, even though we just left the toilet, I nearly,
yeah.
I nearly had to go back and clean up.
No, I nearly went arse
over
tit.
Who's on the dog?
Arse over tit. Yeah, but
I watched Marathon Man last week. No, it's within your power, you know. This on the Bad Boy Running Stand. Who was I interviewed with? I think it was one called Lisa. It wasn't Lisa Jackson, someone else. Anyway, she was just saying how she'd gone from, you know, just said, I'm going to do this for charity.
Yeah.
And wasn't into fitness, wasn't into running.
Right.
But followed a sensible training plan, had a good coach, and just went and did it, you know, because because it's available.
Yes.
So I think really that's part of that, isn't it? It's and I think you're right that it connects to what I was saying about different kinds of ultras, because you can kind of curate that. You know, some people want to get out there and prove to themselves that they're tough nerds.
Tough matters.
But
tough daddies, tough matters.
Whisper it. You don't have to do it like that.
Yeah.
And you know, it's where running is at, isn't it? It's the bifurcation of modern life. You look at these things and you take what you want from them and you shape them to your needs, as opposed to the old days where there's a way of doing things.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
No, it's going to be. I think you're going to find out a lot.
I mean, and also, you know,
during
this
100K, you know,
this might seem like a crass thing, but I think you would definitely agree. I think that kind of inclusion and sense of different vibes, and specifically taking away the kind of raw masculinity of the thing, is, if that hadn't taken place, I wouldn't be doing it.
Yeah.
I'd run a mile.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
yeah.
That's a bad phrase to use, because
I think I've sort of, I think my sort of perception of running with and against women is sort of coloured by the fact that I've been beaten by so many, and I don't judge it on anything other than that. Do you know what I mean? I just see people in front of me or behind me, and I don't really think there's a woman I've got to catch up with. I just think there's someone I'd like to catch up with them, but it doesn't seem like I can.
Yeah, there's someone.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, like, I've had so many women. I've had so many women thrash me over the years.
Yeah.
It's not really in my radar. And a lot of very successful female ultra athletes, of course.
Yeah. And not
very
just
high levels.
Not just doing amazing things, but sort of, again, showing a way of doing things.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Well, I mean, we couldn't hero worship more than Susie Chen and Camille Herron.
Yeah.
And they're just examples of what people can do.
Fantastic.
So,
but yeah, you're
if you
learn
want to
a
sign
lot
up for
that,
the Threshold Race to the King, I would invite everyone to follow me who thinks they can do it and wants to spend
a few
months having an exciting outside-y training, but particularly women.
There's a couple of run compodders who might be doing it, isn't there? It'd be nice to get a bit of a group together, but yeah.
Well, I think that talking of what you were saying about it was Matt who was very self-awarely saying,
yeah,
I'm the devil making you guys do this. And I think Helen signed up on the strength of Matt's encouragement, although
right,
she's a bit like, I signed up and then I might not do it. Yeah. But I think Matt then got COVID, you know. So it is a...
Yeah. When is the event?
It's the mid-June.
Right, okay.
Middle weekend of June.
Yeah.
15th, 16th.
Right.
It's on the Saturday.
Yeah.
It's over the Saturday and Sunday, Paul. No, it isn't! It's actually, I think looking back, I think that is the healthy step. Instead of thinking, I must take on this difficult distance over two running periods, the conversation became much more, well, we're not going to be able to drink lager or eat mashed potato halfway around.
Yeah.
Which is just kind of softer learning outcome. Anyway, I really feel good about it. It's just going to give shape to my year.
It's just nice
to
give... it's nice to answer the question about the shape of your year, isn't it, with an event. It just
exactly
frames everything wonderfully.
A couple of years ago, this time when I was doing Race to Stones, I would travel to the end of the Metropolitan line and then run off through the Chilterns to my mum's house.
Nice.
She didn't live there anymore, but I suddenly realised the other day, I can do that. I could do that again.
Yeah.
I'd have to run to a station or something, you know, but we should do that.
Yeah, we should do that.
I was saying to you just the other day, this is a tiny thing by comparison, but we'll do it. Next time we go over to Leytonstone, instead of going around Wanstead Flats, we'll run back to your house.
Yeah, nice, yeah.
And that sense of a quest, a point
but
to
I had
point,
the,
it's really good.
Epiphany. Yes, I think we've all had before, but you know, sort of 12 miles into the 50-mile run and you're set off tired and you're tired anyway. It's like, this is the race here.
Yeah, this is it.
Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
Should we go there?
Yeah, absolutely.
But this is what's going to... You're going to get really tired during the 100K run. I'm going to get really tired during the Marathon de Sable.
Yeah.
And that's what we... That's what it's about, relaxing with it, training with it.
Yeah.
Feeling that.
No, and when you say that, exactly. And
you know,
the other side of that is that subtle, really low-key moment when you know you've got it.
Yeah.
It was...
Which I'm nowhere near.
Yeah, it was kind of 75% into my second long run, day of two long runs for the Race to the Stones. It's just in the middle of a field. And I thought, I'm really tired now. And I thought, but...
Yeah.
And I carried on running. And that was it. That was me going over the bump of
I can,
you know, and it was tiny.
Bam, 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 b Have you seen those guys who do that, running behind people with their trumpets and stuff? They'll see like a jogger and ba 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 ba.
No, but I saw that when they did the Manchester Half. They had a band playing that for the kids run.
Right.
Brilliant.
Just yeah, nice. A nice idea. Ba 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 ba. These joggers. Just really nice mischief, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Good fun.
I am talking of. You know, this is the training. I did that storytelling. It was really nice, actually, because before I went off and did all my jokey jokes in Devon,
yeah,
I did, what's it called? One Track Minds.
Oh, nice.
Which is the storytelling gig at Wilton's Music Hall.
Yeah.
And it was the first gig I did back after lockdown.
Right.
And it's not nothing.
Yeah.
That the great gift of it is... You don't have to be funny.
Yeah, that's...
There was a time when...
That's amazing, yeah.
There was no time...
It's really tough, that.
Yeah.
It's really tough for comics, isn't it?
I wouldn't have got on stage at any point before I was over 40. You know, before I was even a comedian, when I was making announcements in Assembly, laughs, get a laugh, get a laugh. They'll like you if you get a laugh, get a laugh, get a laugh. So the maturity of just speaking to an audience who want to listen to you about stuff...
Yeah.
Where else can we do that, Paul?
I don't even think...
We're never silly!
I don't even think I could do that.
Well, but we
I don't
do.
Think I could make that leap.
But this is what we're doing.
Yeah, but there's no crowd.
Yeah, I know, but there is. They're listening.
There's no crowd, but...
They're listening to us.
Yeah.
But anyway, I did that.
That's great.
And I was talking about planking.
Yeah.
And I was saying what great good marathon training it is, because... It's good for your core, it's great physically. And if it was I was a trainer, it would be reps. You do a minute this way, a minute that way, side plank.
Yeah.
But I just like to get down there and plank for longer than I want to, because that's the training.
Yeah.
It's about hanging in there, doing something physically difficult and finding where the line is.
Yeah.
You know?
Finding the line and just... Because that's where the training is, isn't it? That's the funny thing about running training. It's like I can run for an hour easy and it's absolutely fine. And that's kind of ticking over.
Yeah.
But the real training, the real improvement comes 12 miles into a 15 when you haven't done it for a while.
And I was saying
that's the 20%,
that
isn't it? That's the training.
To an audience, that thing about being in your 50s is that you... we have to do this. If you want to stay this strong, we have to play against it. You've got to push towards the red.
Yeah.
Do you feel challenged by this? An unbeatable offer. Benoit Cantin, a top Burgundy grower in the village at Irancy, sold us the last of his stock of red Passe du Grand wine.
Yeah.
There will be no more of this traditional Gamay Pinot Noir blend ever, as it's less profitable than straight Pinot. But is this wine as good as top wine critics have said? Come in, taste, and decide for yourself.
That Gamay, that could be quite nice, actually.
Yeah.
It's only 5 cases of 6 bottles.
Yeah.
Yeah, that has had a bit... Well, that could be MDS training, couldn't it? Carrying 6 bottles of wine on your back. I haven't introduced my new trainers.
Oh, I saw them. I just saw them just now.
Yeah.
After Doggate.
Yeah, they are...
What are they? And how are they?
They're good. I think they're called... What are they called? I think they're called Ivotech. They're... I need to work out what they're called.
It says there, but it's all covered in mud.
It's sort of... Supplied for me by the very helpful Nick Newman at Runners Need in Camden, available for all your runners needs. He's great.
Go, Nick.
The fact that he gives me 15% discount is neither here nor there. That's not the reason why I'm saying, what day are you in? And they're just really nice. I think that Ivotech True, it's a triumvirate of guys who work for ASICS, Reebok and Nike have kind of come together. Or maybe even ASICS, Brooks and Nike have come together to create the shoe.
Yeah.
I just wanted something good for that kind of mostly off-road running, lots of support.
These are not massive distance, but they are kind of trail.
Yeah, they're more. I just wanted something for the high mileage that,
yeah,
God willing, I'll be doing the next couple of months. And then I'll have to have a serious think about the race training, you know. But it's always quite exciting buying trainers, isn't it? Saying goodbye to old trainers.
I don't know, doing my tax return when I get to trainers. When I got to Edinburgh in 2022, I didn't have my trainers and I went and bought some.
Right.
And just looking back now, I'm like, well, that's so much money.
Oh, no, that can
and
be
as
expensive.
We move to, you know, there is obviously a discussion to be had about very, very expensive trainers that you wear once.
Oh, yeah, I'm not going to do that.
And I just wonder if there's any... Throw this one out to you, dear listener, but I think I know the answer. Is anyone making a really, really performance-friendly, sustainable shoe?
Yeah.
Is there anything vegan? Is there anything recycled, recyclable?
Yeah.
That you can really get your best times in? Does that even exist? Is that in the conversation? I don't think it is. Morning, magpie. Which is a shame, because I want some.
Yeah, because it's not cheap. I mean... I really get the most out of my trainers. I mean, the last trainers had huge, by the end, had huge holes in them, and I've still wore them for another month.
Yeah.
So I rinse every pair of trainers.
Yeah.
Of every sign of life.
And you can definitely get vegan shoes now if you want, which is good.
Right.
They're not cheap.
Yeah.
And that doesn't necessarily enhance sustainability, but you know, whether you're thinking about plastics or whatever, it's a little bit against the flow of good things to buy. The developments in shoe culture.
Well, yeah, exactly. Those kind of one-use race trainer.
Yeah.
Incredible, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
For like £300 or whatever. The Nike Alpha Fly range, you know.
Yeah. Now, I've got to pick up something I didn't tell you about that. The thing about the One Track Minds that I really like, because it's like my book, because every story centres on a song.
Yeah.
A song that changed your life.
Nice.
And, which of course, that's what my book is about. Well, I don't know about changing your life, but every story centres or relates to a song I listened to when I was running. So I was talking about that in regard to... the Coach George chapter of my book.
Right.
It's about George Michael's Freedom 90.
Yeah.
And how that's in the book for a great moment I had in the Yorkshire Marathon, the first one just after my dad died.
Right.
But also, it's a planking classic.
Yeah.
Good call. Because it plays like a pop song. Verse, chorus, other bit, chorus.
Yeah.
But it's long.
So you can chunk it down, but it is all the time.
Exactly, chunk it down.
Yeah.
And so it's a really good one for the, your 5-minute planking song needs to be about 6 minutes long so that you can get into it, get out of it and stuff. Anyway, so I plan to do this. It's a bit cheeky, really, because what you're supposed to do is tell your story and then just sit while everyone looks at you listening to the song. And the absolute... pressure of that part of the gig is kind of the point, you know, that they host it and they say, I know that's odd, but that's it, that's a moment that we share.
You tell your story and then you're exposed afterwards of the the song plays, yes.
And I caught
interesting moment, yeah.
I realized that I've been sidestepping that. I've done it 3 times now. First time I sat through the song, and I could feel myself, like you're saying, but going for the laugh and stuff, feel myself playing it, you know, finding moments to. Waggle your eyebrows, check in with someone in the front row.
Which
is true too, that's natural.
Yeah.
Johnny Cochran, a comedian, was telling a story the other day, and during his song, he started dancing.
Right.
That's fair enough, that's something you can do, you know.
Yeah.
But, and then the second time I went, I sang a song, got my guitar out.
Right.
And I was good, I committed to the process. I was singing a song from an important time in my life years ago when I sang a song. Do you know what I mean? I didn't just do a bit of my set. Anyway. Guess what I did?
Planked.
I planked.
Yeah.
And I thought all along I was a bit nervous about it because I wasn't... I had my shoes on.
Right.
I had my rings on.
Yeah.
I was tired. I thought, I don't know if I can do it.
Nice.
But I hadn't planked earlier in the day, so I should have had... I should have a 5-minute plank in the tank, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, I did it.
Yeah.
It was really... It was really interesting, a really odd experience. Like, as soon as the plank started, you go into this weird tunnel.
Yes,
it's a bit like
doing
the London Marathon, where you're simultaneously in this kind of solo, committed exercise mode.
Yeah.
I have my eyes shut, for goodness sake.
Yeah.
And then, on the other hand, you're in a theatre full of people watching, talking.
Yes.
Kind of being a part of the... It's really like a crazy dream.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
And then... So I did that, and the song, of course, as with any plank, and as with this show as well, anchored the whole experience. And I wasn't looking at a clock or anything, but I know exactly, as you can imagine, 5 seconds across this road.
Yeah, we can do that.
Ooh, it's a parkrun finish speed. Tom Cruise did pull.
We can do that.
Anyway, it was heading for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Which, as we say, it's a long song.
It's a long
plank.
So that
comes in... Sort of part way through the middle eight. And I thought, I can stop here. someone would have been timing me and would say, oh, we did 5 minutes. I thought, yeah, but I haven't explained that. The audience don't know it.
Yeah.
They'd just be disappointed. So I planked for the rest of the song.
Right.
And it's such a weird combo of on the one hand, blackmailing myself into pushing it harder than I would have thought possible.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, just the absolute showbiz responsibility.
Yeah.
You can't plank to the song without planking the whole song.
Yeah, finishing, the strong finish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I got my plank record.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's definitely, I was complaining about carrying my guitar around in that heavy bag of shopping.
I bet that
shopping.
Made it a bit worse.
I shouldn't think the adding more than a minute onto my regular plank helped either. And that's another reason why my very enjoyable park run on Saturday had quite a disappointing time.
Was it hard, just harder than you thought?
No, it felt great, actually.
Yeah.
I was literally just disappointed in the numbers.
It's just good to push it regardless of numbers, isn't it? It's just good to get out.
And find excuses, you know?
Yeah.
I was talking to Laura Mugford from 26.2 Reasons to Stay Alive about...
Which we're going to see.
Yeah, we'll be seeing that this week.
Yeah.
And she was great. It was a lovely run last week.
Yeah.
And we were talking again about the finish line thing, about how you've got to create these stories to help you, and if they don't help you, you can change them.
Yeah.
You know, and that was it. I changed the story of my plank to enable me to do it. I mean, it's ridiculous. There is no repeating any of that scenario. But the model, in terms of whatever, running, park run, distance running, short running, other exercises, is... It's the Don Draper rule, isn't it? If you don't like the conversation, change the conversation. When the key thing with that is you don't fight it, you don't disagree, you don't go the other way. You just change.
Just change it.
Just come at it from somewhere else. Or my father-in-law's old joke, which I'm sure isn't his, but he used to use very well, which is, I will help you with the journey. Where are you going? I'm going so-and-so. Oh, well, you don't want to start from here.
Yeah. So nice to get back into performing. Just do some gigs anyway, different types of gigs.
Mixing things up, you know.
Yeah.
But again, just to go back to something we were talking about obliquely, I love doing stand-up, and I'm sure I'll be doing it for a while to come, but I feel I'd like to grow up out of it. I like talking to people without going for the punchline. I love this.
Yes. Yeah.
I know what you're saying. I think maybe we have slightly different attitudes to it, but obviously we're not in front of an audience of people right now. But we are talking to you guys.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah.
And that dialogue. Well, it's a dialogue, isn't it? It's a very modern thing. The fact that there's give and take in that, and you can talk back to us and all that jazz. There used to be, you know, if you look back to the early days of alternative comedy, you know, the idea of any kind of performance was so kind of rarefied. And so many people talk now about surreal comedians, like pop stars, poets, comedians. Anyone talking on stage used to have this, they were so likely to kind of put a voice on or wear an outfit or whatever it might be, you know?
Yeah.
This thing of actually giving of yourself.
Yeah.
It's very modern.
Yeah.
It's very post-internet. And we can ride that. We can be part of it.
Absolutely.
We're not too old.
But yeah, I mean, stand-up's constantly changing. It kind of brings it back to this comic I'm going to chat to this afternoon. And you can tell he's a little bit down and stuff. It's like, at the very least, give yourself credit for being really funny and earning money, and he's from a working class background.
Yeah, yeah. Coming this far.
He's entertained people for 30 years. He's been around the world. He's written for really famous comics.
Yeah.
Just give yourself that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Just take a step back and just say, do you know what? It's been great. And you go up north and you might have better gigs because you're up north again and there's new chapters.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
But also, as Adrienne might say, allow, release, let go.
Yeah, you know? Totally.
Going back to... me and Matt and Helen saying we won't be having that night of partying in the middle of the ultra, make it easier to relate to that as a concept, you know.
Yeah.
And whether it's all the stuff you've done in the past or indeed the thing you're dreading in the future, just recognise it, park it and move on, you know.
Yeah.
Allow, release, let go. But it's difficult. It's more. It's harder.
Of course it is.
When you're older, because and we have to also take all our baggage with us.
Yeah, and it's also easier when you're not doing it.
Yeah, oh God,
it's easier to tell someone to do
that. Yeah.
Do you know, what are you moaning about?
Yeah.
Things are changing. You're on your arse. Who cares? Come on, mate. Do you know, it's like, it's easily said, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. But it's still worth saying.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I just want to big him up, really, and try and reframe it in a positive thing.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Oh, and it's good to say. And if you feel like, if one feels like you're telling someone something they need to hear, but it's not going in, it's still worth saying it.
Yeah,
maybe. What that is what we always call that is the broccoli on the side of the plate. In that era, when you're a little kid, just won't eat the broccoli.
Yeah.
And it's not worth having the tantrum.
All right.
Just keep serving it up to them.
Yeah.
Because sooner or later, the broccoli's still on the plate. It's there when they need it.
Or mix it in with the potatoes and pretend you're a train.
Yeah,
and well, feed it in.
In the actual practical parenting terms, that's good. But in the analogy, that doesn't help.
No,
much
no,
at
no,
all.
You're right.
No.
So I need to take some broccoli to see this.
Oh, forget it. hey, listen. Talking about interacting online. Somebody said, I don't know who it was, I can't remember who originally said it or who said it would be good on Running Country, but it just came through on the website formerly known as Twitter. Someone was saying they wish there was an app, like a dating app, but not for dating, for runners who want to meet and run with other runners who are...
In the
and
area
he would say, I'm in this place and
I'm
looking to run about this far and
it's a nice idea.
I like to run at this kind of pace.
Yeah.
And someone else said, oh, Running Country should get involved with that. So here I am saying,
it's a nice little
idea. Let us know. Yeah. If you've got if you're looking for a running hookup, give us those details, where you are, when you like to go running, what kind of run you want to be doing, and we'll shout you out.
Yeah.
And I'll get the ball rolling. I'm looking for a Swedish-speaking runner in North London.
Because you're learning how to speak Swedish.
Yeah, I'm getting towards the end of my Duolingo.
Right.
So I'm at a moment here where, when I'm in front of my mobile phone, it seems like I can speak Swedish like a native. And then when I go to sort of say it out loud, I go...
And are you learning Swedish because you want to spend more time in Sweden, or you've just always wanted to learn to speak Swedish?
The latter.
Right.
So I really need to put it somewhere now. And I haven't got anywhere to put it. But, I find some use for it.
Wanted Swedish speaking runner in North London.
That's right.
For Swedish conversations.
That's right.
Yeah.
Jag kan prata.
Nice.
Svenska med dig.
And where's
what's
your.
What's wild weird?
And what's your running like at the minute then, sort of pre marathon y? Are you starting to do the odd bit longer one every week sort of
thing? I'm into double figures.
Yeah.
So we did nearly 10 10 last Monday. This week I think I'll take it up to a half.
Yeah.
And get into parkrun with regularity.
Yeah.
And I think, and it's only a couple of weeks away, what do you think about this? I think I'll sign up for the next run through event in Victoria Park and do the half.
Right.
Which is going to be tough. We talked about it before.
Yeah.
I remember saying, I would never do that.
Halves
because
it's
it's something like a 7-lapper.
Right.
But I think that the toughness of it would be really good for me.
Yeah.
And I love run through events. I love Victoria Park.
Yeah. Nice and flat.
Yeah. And I think just getting out there, getting a half in as soon as possible.
Yeah.
That's a nice little
line in the sand, isn't it?
Yeah, I should do it, shouldn't I?
Yeah, I think you should, yeah. When is that?
That's February the 11th, I think. So
I think
two weeks on Sunday.
That's not bad timing, yeah.
And, I know I can do the distance, and I won't put any pressure on myself to do it particularly fast, but on the other hand, it'll be an event, so I'll probably...
Yeah, once you're racking off the 2-and-a-bit-mile laps, you'll probably want to get it done with.
Get it finished, yeah, exactly. And I think I'm going to do that. I wanted you to give me the nod, basically.
Yeah,
and it's all part of that. It's interesting what you were saying about how nice it is to run on the Monday, although I do think you should do your long runs. That's a good thought about pulling them away
from gigs
and driving. But it always feels like a new thing. You know, saying to you now that I'm going to do a half this week and run a formal half in a couple of weeks and start my fundraising page, it's all new,
Yeah.
As the storm, as Isha blows through and the sun rises.
Isha blows through.
And
not that much damage. I mean, a bit of change here and there with the
tree. Yeah, I don't think we've had the worst of it here, have we?
No, we haven't, no.
Although that tree's... And that's old. That's an old tree down.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah. There's a tree off there. Look.
And there's a house blown away.
Is that
and
a fridge?
A witch has been killed.
Yeah. See that telly on the top of the tree there? Yeah.
There's a cow.
But, yeah, it's... new beginnings in this month that never ends. January never ends, does it?
Yeah. Well, I'll
January
tell you.
Sort of. Well, it will end, but it feels it's one of those.
Well, I'm very lucky because the end of January is a very special time. Coming up on my engagement anniversary.
Yes. Yeah.
And my beautiful, wonderful wife's birthday.
Yeah.
And then our anniversary as a couple. They're all on three
They're
different dates within
nice.
A week.
Wow.
So,
that's a bit of a festival, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got our... We've got our anniversary of getting to... I think... Yeah, we've got our 26th...
I think your wedding anniversary is the same as our couple anniversary.
Yeah, we've got our 26th wedding anniversary, yeah. We're going to go out...
So what year did you get married?
We got married
in 98. 98, okay. Yeah. So we were celebrating our first anniversary as a couple on the day you got married.
Right.
We really share a history, don't we, Paul?
It's... Yeah, it's great. We're gonna that'll be a test of the dry Jan thing. I mean, it's like obviously you want to have a drink to celebrate your marriage, but at the same time, it's quite nice to just not. But, you know, we're going to a nice restaurant, and I don't know. We'll see. Do you know what I mean? It's one of those.
Well, exactly.
Because I've been really enjoying not boozing. I've been really enjoying it.
Well, me too. But I am. We didn't start not drinking till January the 6th.
Yeah.
And B. I've been looking forward to drinking through that festival I lately described all along.
Yeah.
The real trick will be, and this is it sounds ridiculous, but it's a real thing. The real trick is going to be starting to stop drinking again. And that reminds you of the Race to the Stones, where the big thing, where I think the real trick of this is always, it's not walking the hills, it's starting running again.
Yeah.
Always the starting of the strength again. The re-invoking of the vows.
Yes, yeah.
And
yeah.
So that'll be... In fact, that's why I'm going to drink, is to test myself. Like Gandhi, sleeping with women.
Well, my son, bless him, he's got a party tonight at the store. He works at the store, and it's a free bar.
Wow.
So he's only 20. He's facing that, and he's been really enjoying not drinking. And so we'll see what happens there. But and it's a very traditional... Like huge pressure to booze. Do you know what I mean? Like no respect at all for his decision not to booze. What are you doing? Well, it's free bar. You got to drink. You know, from the bosses down, from everyone.
It's Britain. You know, like people think that anyway. If you get on stage, you say, you know, various abstemious things. People are like,
what are you, a maniac?
Yeah, I hate you. I don't trust you. Despise you.
One of us. Down in one.
It's kind of terrifying, really. Isn't it?
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Thanks for listening. Remember, you can subscribe to us on Acast Plus now for ad-free listening and more.
Happy running. Love you.
Kiss, kiss.